God, as we look into your word, I pray that we would hear from you, that this would be more than just a clever speech or just organizing thoughts that we all already agree on. God, give us open hearts to hear from you, to trust you, to let your word change and mold us. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, welcome you guys. It is Independence Day weekend, and I love Independence Day. It's a good time to remember what it took to start this amazing experiment that we call America. And right now, there are a lot of things being deconstructed, and there are a lot of things being questioned, and a lot of things, I mean, monuments that are being torn down, and there's different people have different opinions about that. And praise the Lord, that's amazing that we have the opportunity and the freedom to even say our opinions out loud and to do something about it. That's part of the experiment that was started by the founders of this country. And I think they wouldn't look at it and go, wow, why are they changing this? They would look at it and go, that's what we hoped would happen, that there would be corrective mechanisms that would allow people to get involved in their own governance. So although it's difficult and there are divisions and there are arguments, this Independence Day weekend, I look at the things going on and I go, you know, I think the experiment is working as I see a lot of that deconstruction. We've got to be involved in the reconstruction. Some of that goes on in the church as well, where there are patterns that get set and there are expectations that we have and comfort levels where we just want it to be a certain way. And then things get added in that aren't necessarily from Scripture. They're more a part of our own preferences or what we would want. And there comes a time where things need to be deconstructed. And we don't leave it deconstructed, though. Then we look into Scripture and we see, what did Jesus say? How is he leading? And we rebuild, we reconstruct the church. So that's what we're in the process of doing here in this series. So we looked at the promise that Jesus will build his church. That's what he said. He said, I will build my church. As we look into Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So he's building his church. And then in Hebrews, we looked at the foundation, and it's kind of a yesterday, today, and forever foundation. Yesterday, Jesus did everything that was necessary in order to save us. We need to put our faith in him, repent from our sins, put our faith in what he did. And then today, we need to live out our faith in discipleship. And then we need to keep in mind that there is a forever, that there's more than just what happens while our hearts are beating and our lungs are breathing in this life. There is an eternal reality that we've got to keep in mind. So that's the foundation that we're laying. And then upon that foundation, what we're doing in this series is we're looking through commands in Scripture about what we're to do with each other, the one another verses. So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about living in harmony with each other, how Jesus takes diverse people and helps them to work together in harmony so we can praise the Lord with one voice, not in uniformity, but in unity, in harmony. And we looked at what it means to have a culture of honor. We're to honor each other, lift each other up. And then last week, we talked about being in fellowship with each other, that we should have such a devotion to and such a close fellowship that we should not think it's super weird to just be like, I'm so glad to see you. I just want to greet you with a holy kiss. I'm not there yet, okay? I know, we're still working on that. The point is the devotion to fellowship. Today at 11:30, we're going to meet at Yellow Banks Park. And when I say we, I mean you. Please feel welcome to be there. If you're in town, bring something for you and your people, your household, your family to eat. It's not going to be a potluck where we have a bunch of people sharing things. We're still following guidelines in order to be safe. So bring your own food and drink. We'll have hand sanitizer there. We'll keep safe distances. I'm asking people have a mask ready. We're not requiring people to wear them. It's going to be outdoors. We're trying to do this safely, but also trying to celebrate and reconnect that fellowship. And today, the each other verse that we're looking at is about serving each other in love. So if we look at Galatians 5, 13 through 15, that's going to be our focus today. The Apostle Paul says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature." I'm just going to park for a second on that. One of the beautiful things about this country, one of the beautiful statements, is that everyone has the right to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, or freedom, and the pursuit of happiness. And sometimes we get the pursuit of happiness mixed up with pursuing or satisfying our own sinful desires. That the pursuit of happiness is really about me getting what I want. And it's this kind of selfish, self-centered thing. And sometimes I'll hear people say that. And it's especially concerning in the context of a marriage where two people have been united into one. And if you get one person who's saying, "I really need some space to find my happiness, to pursue what makes me happy," sometimes that's concerning. Either the other person isn't hearing and being devoted to what is nurturing to that person, or that person has kind of lost sight of the unity of the relationship. So when we talk about pursuit of happiness, we've got to consider that we're not just satisfying our sinful desires, our self-centered appetites, that we're considering that we're part of something larger. We're part of a community. And that's what Paul explains. He says, instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. And he continues, "But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another." He's warning the church that people can destroy each other in the church. Does that happen? Yes. It happens all the time. So as we look at what does it look like now, we're a church that's kind of scattered and things are a lot different when we're reconstructing. And part of what we need to build into our reconstruction is this idea of serving each other in love, of using our freedom to serve each other. So let's dig into that a little bit. What is this freedom that he talks about? Freedom from what? If we were to back it up in the book of Galatians, he says this warning to people, he says, "You've been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. You've fallen from grace." So he's addressing people who are seeking to be justified by the law. What does that mean? It means that they're being convinced that what Jesus did to save us isn't enough, that that isn't sufficient, that we also need to be following a set of rules, that we need to be religious people doing religious things in order to earn God's favor. And Paul is saying, no, no. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And all these rules and laws that come from the Old Testament about, you know, certain days and certain festivals and certain foods and certain processes to go through and cleanliness and uncleanliness, all of that was pointing to our need for Christ. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," he said that the page is turned. All of those things that were pointing to me, well, now I'm here and now things are different. So Paul explains, it's not about following a religious system in order to justify yourself. And at that time in history, people were sharing Jesus with, it started with people who had a Jewish background. And part of Judaism is when you were a baby, you were circumcised. Kids, ask your parents what that means after this message. They were circumcised as babies. And that was part of them following the law that justified them. Well, then they were spreading the message of Jesus to people who were non-Jewish people, to Gentiles. So they're adults. And some people were saying, okay, so now if you put your faith in Jesus, you become part of this Jewish tradition. So now you have to be circumcised. You know, Mr. Smith, now you have to be circumcised. And Paul is saying, stop it. It's not about the circumcision. That stuff has been finished. It's been fulfilled. It's been completed. Don't try to convince people they have to follow the old rules. They've been freed from that. So that's part of what distinguishes Christianity from a lot of religions out there, because you'll hear people say all religions are basically the same in that they have a system of rules that help people be better people. Well, Christianity is different because, yes, there are expectations that people will be good people. There are commands like love your neighbor as yourself. But instead of understanding that we need to follow these rules in order to be justified, which is what a lot of religions teach, in order to be right with God or the universe or whatever, you follow these rules. And to the extent that you don't, you're out of balance. You're not in peace. And Christianity says, yeah, do those things, but do them because God has saved you. Don't do them in order to earn salvation. It's very different. We are freed from the obligation. So some people would hear that and say, that's awesome. So I can be saved for eternity. I can go to heaven and I can just still act the way that I want to act. That's perfect. That's great, like life insurance. That's wonderful. I'll just buy that. I'll put that on me and then just keep living my life the same way that I want to. It doesn't matter what I do. But Paul says, no. It matters what you do. Don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful desires, but use your freedom to serve one another in love. You're not saved to sin. You're saved from sin to serve. You are saved into a new life. You are given a freedom from the obligations of the law so that you can live a new life of following Christ and honoring God in the world and bringing his kingdom into your household, your neighborhood. So it's not your job to earn God's favor. He has already poured it out to you in the blood of Jesus Christ. So let's do something a little different today. Rather than waiting to share the Lord's Supper or communion at the end, let's do it midway through as we remember that it isn't me who earns salvation. It's not about what I'm going to do today. It's about what he has already done. As we remember that, let me read from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. One night, on the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. Now, at New Day, we invite anybody who puts their faith in Jesus to remember him this way. We don't see this as something that saves you. Now, there are some church traditions that say you've got to take the Eucharist, Lord's Supper, communion. You have to do that in order to re-cleanse yourself. And what we're doing is our best understanding of Scripture is that, no, Christ died for our sins once for all time. So this is us taking time to remember that, to prevent ourselves from getting caught up in following the law or thinking that it's according to what we are doing, and remember that it's according to what he has done. So whatever you have in your household for bread as a remembrance of Christ, I invite you to take that and remember his body given for you. And in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it, a new agreement between God and humanity, sealed with the blood of Christ. Do this to remember." For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So we remember what he did. Another way that we follow the commands of Jesus in the church, as we remember him, we remember what he did. He said that we are to make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So baptism is part of that foundation. Now, the way we teach it here is that baptism, the act, does not save you. Now, I know there are other traditions. There are people in this church who say, no, it's necessary. That isn't part of the understanding that I teach or that we have as a church, that baptism is something that we do because Jesus commanded it. He modeled it. He himself was baptized. So if we say he's our Lord, he's our teacher, and we should do what he did, and it becomes a picture. We do baptism by immersion, where you go under the water, because that's what Scripture tells us, is that it's a picture. Just as Christ died and went under the ground, you're going to go under the water because you've died to your old self. And just as he rose again, you come up from the water. You've been given a new life in Christ. Now, it's not the act of baptism that saves you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that saves you. And it's your faith in Jesus Christ that compels you to follow his commands, to continue remembering him through the Lord's Supper, through communion, and to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If that's not a step that you've taken and a step that you would like to take, we are going to invite you to do that on July 19th. We'll do a celebration service at Yellow Banks Park, right on the river. And I love the idea of being baptized in a river the way Jesus was. So if that's not a step you've taken and you feel like it's time for you to do that, just send a message via Facebook to New Day and say, that's a step that I would like to take. I'd like to be baptized. So let's take this new life that he's given us, a new life that's demonstrated in our baptism. And it's a new life where people are to serve each other in love. He's given us freedom from the old law, from the old commands. And he's told us, serve each other in love. So what does that mean? That means don't focus on satisfying your sinful desires. Focus on other people. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Not because you're obligated, but because it was modeled for you by Christ. He is my Lord. I will honor him by what I do. I try to love my neighbor and serve my neighbor. I'm sitting here in view of a couple of my neighbors, and I can think of some ways that that I've been able to help them, and they've been able to help me. The lady across the street, Linda, she's getting older. She has a heart condition. She's looking after her mother, who's also in that household. And a couple of years ago, I started mowing their lawn. She's got a riding mower, but she's just not in any condition to use it. So I was over there 2 days ago, and she saw that a dump trailer had pulled up to our house in our driveway. And she knows, because we've talked about it, that we've got a bathroom renovation project going on. So she was talking to me about that. And I was saying, yeah, you know, in order to save money, I'm going to do the demolition myself, and we're going to haul things into that dump trailer to be taken away. And she said, you know what you should do, Aaron? You should call Amy. Now, she's talking about Amy, who is a part of New Day, who handles calling people. She's part of our Ouch team. She helps to contact people and to decipher what a need might be in their household, a way that the church could serve during backyard missions. And She has been in contact with these two older ladies across the street. She said, you should call Amy and have her get her guys over to your house to help you out. And I thought, but wait, I'm one of the guys. I'm supposed to be helping people out. And I even said that to her. I laughed a little bit. And I was like, no, I'm the one who's supposed to be helping people, Linda. And as I thought about it, I thought, if we're going to follow the command here, not to earn salvation, but as an expression of salvation, if we're going to follow the command to serve each other in love, then we have to not only be ready to serve others, we have to allow others to serve us. If you are a part of a church and all you're doing is serving others, you're robbing someone of their opportunity to minister. You're robbing them of their opportunity to follow this command to serve each other. When Jesus sent his disciples out two by two to share the message, the good news of the kingdom, he told them, go and don't bring anything with you. You have got to depend on, don't bring any money. You've got to go into a neighborhood, a community where you don't know anybody, and find somebody who's willing to help you. And I love that what he did is he said, you're a missionary and you're not going to go with all the answers and everything you need. You're going to go and you're going to be in need. You're going to need someone else's help. What an important posture for us to remember. So we have that written into our membership application to say, yes, I'm willing to help other people in the body of Christ. I'm willing to help other members, and I'm willing to let other people help me to share when there is a need. So we've got some people who are gifted in serving others, and I have to be careful to remember. So, Steve, I'm not asking you to come help me with this demolition project because I know that your most important relationship in life is your relationship with God, and then your second most important relationship is your relationship with your wife, and then your third most important relationship is your relationship with your kids, and I'm somewhere lower than all of that, and I've got to recognize we each have a ministry, and sometimes people who are gifted in serving can get overburdened, so I'm not telling you, Steve, to come over and help me. Don't take it that way, all right? Anyway, but we do need to be willing to ask for help. So I will put a message out to my small group and let them know what I'm up to and just see if anybody has the ability to help out. I'm not asking you on this message to contact me right now. I'm sorry, I have a small group, I'll ask them. What I'm trying to do is model and demonstrate if we're going to serve each other in love, then we've got to be willing to be served. And this thing about in love, it means that it's not something that we do grudgingly. It's not something where you go, well, I have to serve, so I guess I better go over and do. It's not about that. If that is how you're feeling about it, then it's a good time to ask the question, where is this grumbling coming from? Where is this attitude coming from? Am I put out by helping others because it's interrupting me satisfying my own desires? That's a great thing to pray about. If we're not serving each other in love, then it gives us something to pray about. If you're not serving, maybe you're not serving anybody at all. And you've got to ask the question, okay, Jesus loved me enough to give his life for me. What should my response to that be? And if I'm not feeling this this overwhelming love towards other people, this compassion towards other people like Jesus had for me, then maybe I need to understand that better. Maybe I need to come into better grips with what does it mean for me to have compassion for other people. And if we don't, the danger that Paul points out is, he says, if you're always biting and devouring, one another, which sounds to me like what would happen in like a rodent squirrel apocalypse. They're biting and devouring each other. But this is happening in the church. The rodent squirrel apocalypse of the church in Galatians 15. He says, beware of destroying each other. Nip, 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 nip. Biting each other, devouring each other is what's going to go on if we don't prayerfully get a grip on what does it mean to have love and compassion that expresses itself in service to one another. Here's a very practical step. Now, I know over the last couple of weeks, there have been times where I've said, I'm not going to tell you what to do with this. You need to hear from God and do apply it how he's leading you. I'm going to lead you to an application here. We have our Backyard Missions Service Initiative coming up very soon. Not this current week, but the next week. I should probably have the dates up here, 15th through the 19th. Okay, so Backyard Missions is coming up, and we're going to put in the chat section a link for how to register. And the purpose of Backyard Missions is for us to get out and as I said, like serving these elderly folks across the street, finding households that need help who are outside of the church. Now, what does that have to do with serving one another in love? Because they're not part of the one another of the church. Here's the amazing thing that there are so many good things that we've seen come out of Backyard Missions, but one of them is what you find is when you go outside the church and you're serving with a Christian brother, a sister, a fellow disciple, what you find is that you're going to have to help each other as you're helping someone else. What you're going to figure out is that when you're shoulder to shoulder, there is a fellowship that builds, that isn't built when you're just hearing the same message. When we're working together, we come closer together. We figure out that we are serving each other in love. So sign up for Backyard Missions. Do it, do it, do it. Sign up for Backyard Missions. You can do one day, you can do all 5 days. Check it out. And then also, leading up to Backyard Missions, 9 a.m. July 11th through 9 a.m. July 12th, so a Saturday through a Sunday, that's 24 hours. We're looking for volunteers to take 1 hour so that we've got coverage for prayer for 24 hours. And if you want to be scheduled for an hour of prayer, there's going to be something that comes up in the chat section. And you just say like, and we'll get in touch with you and get you scheduled. So when Jesus builds his church, it's evidenced by people serving each other in love. We're going to be praying for that service opportunity. We're going to be praying for our community. And the church is going to be built up in the process. We're going to continue the ministry of Jesus as we are the body of Christ. But if we're always biting and devouring each other, watch out. Sign up for Backyard Missions. Serve each other in order to find the healing power of taking your eyes off yourself, working on a common goal with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And as you serve each other, you will find that you are also serving each other in love. And Jesus will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Let's pray. God, build your church. Even as we're separated, even as we have these dozens of campuses represented in homes across the community, build your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for tuning in. One more piece of news that I forgot to mention. Our plans for the OMC, the architectural plans, have been approved by the state. So now we move into getting permits for construction to happen, and we continue to work on that. So watch for continued updates there. God bless you guys. I hope to see you 11:30 Yellow Banks Park in Weston today. Go in peace.